Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Christopher Check here, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for the...
Ooh. I get to be with the president of Catholic Answers.
I can tell.
Heaven on earth, my friends.
I can tell already this is going to be a difficult hour. Now, Father, I got to start over. Sitting in for the vacationing Cyril Kellett, Cyril of Oceanside, who's with his beautiful wife, Missy, in Hawaii. He'll be back next week. This is going to be an easy hour for me.
Easy hour.
Because I have with me as my guest the great Father Larry Richards.
Yes. Great at what is the question?
So if you listen on an EWTN network station, you get a double dose of Father Larry today because he was in our studio doing his own show earlier today, and now he's going to guest on ours. I think we're calling this hour Ask Father Larry Richards.
Oh, great. This is going to be such a great hour.
So, Father.
Yes, Chris.
You're from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Erie. You know what we're famous for a couple weeks ago? Did you see?
A lot of snow.
63 inches, the number one in the nation, from Christmas Eve till the Friday after Christmas. Almost 7 foot of snow.
So our listeners are saying, what is Father Larry doing in San Diego? And I think we just got the answer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm retiring here like next week. So. If only.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Listen, we've got office space for you
here.
There
you go. I can't retire until I'm 75, though. So I'm 58 in a couple months. So that's a ways away. Holy cow.
So, evangelization.
That's what I specialize on. Holiness. How to evangelize, yes.
You're speaking tonight to a group of good Catholics here in San Diego about holiness.
Sure.
Evangelization, holiness. Father, I...
Being a man.
In fact, the author of the book, Be a Man, ordained 1989.
Yes.
Father.
Yes.
I was yesterday 1 hour with my ordinary, Bishop McElroy of San Diego.
Good man.
Had a very interesting conversation.
Oh.
And he observed a number of things to me demographically about our diocese.
Yes.
And one of the things he was contrasting the Anglo population with the Hispanic population, the levels of piety, or the differences in levels of piety among these demographic groups. He indicated that in the main, church attendance continues to dwindle among the faithful generally, but among the whites or Anglos, whatever we want to call them, Caucasians. But he said even – and he says this is bad.
Sure.
I was glad to hear him say that.
That's good, yes.
So, but then he added that while mass attendance may be declining or fluctuating in the Hispanic community, there is a culture of piety in the Hispanic community where he said they are probably doing something at home, some norm of piety, some family prayer. And through that, the children of the Hispanic faithful are learning that Jesus Christ is a person with whom they are supposed to have a relationship. But he laments and he wonders, is this going on among regular white Catholic families?
Yeah, and I don't think it is. And I think that's why in 1990, when I was ordained only, not even a full year yet, I went to Rome. And John Paul II started the Decade of Evangelization. And he started that we need to pray for evangelization. And a lot of times what we have as a church, we've catechized without evangelize. And so I really think we need to do both. We need to catechize, which Catholic Answers does so, so well,
I think
Mr. President.
Pretty much better than anybody else.
Anybody else, yes. So EWTN does pretty good, too.
It's my staff.
Yes,
it's not me.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so they do that. So well, but we need to evangelize more. And what I'm saying evangelize, meaning that we have to go to where people are at. One of the great things that I heard there in 1990, and it really affected my whole priesthood, was there was a pastor got up and he says, you know, and he's talking to us priests because there was 6,000 priests there. He says, priests are really good shepherds. You know, you come to us, come follow me. It's always a big thing. We'll take care of you. But Jesus ordained us to be fishermen. And being a good fisherman means you go to where the fish are.
Yes.
And so we need to go to where these Anglos are. We need to go and meet them where they are and bring them. Because if God is God, everybody has a hole in their heart for God.
Yep.
They just don't know it. That's why they fill up with money or drugs or alcohol or sex. They're constantly trying to fill up the emptiness. We have the answer to that. But we expect them to come and come to us and get it. You know, that ain't working. It hasn't worked in a long time. We need to go to them. How?
Yeah, there we go. Well, we're going to find out this hour. You mentioned that. You mentioned John Paul II. Pope St. John Paul II, and the expression evangelization. And I think we credit Pope St. John Paul with coining the term new evangelization.
Oh, absolutely.
So in as early as the 70s, late 70s, I think. And that is an expression that has as many meanings as people say it.
Sure.
So clarify for the listeners of Catholic Answers Live, what did the Holy Father mean when he said new evangelization? What is that binding them to do? What is it calling them to do?
Well, first of all, it calls every single person. Again, when everybody listens, we're all followers of Jesus, right? And so Jesus calls each of us to come follow him. Great. But then he also says to all of us who's listening, go and make disciples. That's not an option. It's not for Father Larry. It's not for, you know, Catholic Answers. It's for every single baptized human being. They need to go and make disciples. So, you know, and part of the problem is a lot of Catholics have never been taught how to go make disciples.
No.
And the reason they haven't been taught is because of the priests haven't taught them how to make – the bishops, we haven't taught people how to go make disciples. Protestants do it well, and they're trained how to do it. So that's why for us – before you can make a disciple, of course, you got to be a disciple. So first of all, we got to make sure we are disciples of Jesus. And then we got to know that part of our calling is to make disciples. And part of the new evangelization is, first of all, it's for everybody. Every baptized person is called to be part of this evangelization. But second of all, the new evangelization is preaching the same eternal, truthful gospel. It has not changed since the beginning when Jesus gave it to us in new ways. And that's what we're doing now on the radio, on YouTube, on television, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, whatever we use all these new ways to bring about the truth of the gospel.
Right. Sure. I tell people Catholic Answers is a media apostolate. We use as many different media as we can. It's our responsibility to do that. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father, I didn't even give out the number until just now.
I'm so sorry.
And the lines are filling up. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH to ask your answer to Father Larry. Father, one more question from
you. Yes.
And then we get to the good ones. It's a new year. I hear what you're telling me. I'm an average Catholic. I go to Mass on Sunday. I try not to commit mortal sins. If I do, I go to confession. Now I'm in.
Now you're in.
I've just heard Father Larry. I'm in. I want to be part of this new evangelization. Give me one thing that I can do before the end of today or before the end of next week to start being that active person, that disciple that you're
exactly
calling me
to
be.
First of all, be better
to my wife.
Oh, you better be that. She's going to kill you. Anyway, first, to be a disciple means we sit at the feet of the master every day. It means we pray every single day. The second is we develop the attitude of the master, which means that after we're sitting with Jesus in prayer, we got to think the way Jesus thinks, not the way we think, not the way our political party thinks. We think the way Jesus thinks because we're his disciples, nobody else's. You can only be one disciple of one person at any time. The third thing you got to do is be transformed into the master. meaning that a Christian isn't about a person living a moral life. You can be a Buddhist and live a moral life. You can be a Muslim. You can live a moral life. You can be an atheist and live a moral life objectively, but that doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is one who no longer lives. Jesus Christ lives inside of them, Galatians 2:19 and 20.
Yes. Yep.
And so that means that we have to so surrender ourselves to Jesus every day that when people see us, they no longer just see us, but they see Jesus Christ living inside of us in our own personality. So that's how we are disciples. And then the way we make disciples is, like, say, the first thing you got to do is you pray for people. So in your family, people, your work, your neighbors, you write their names down on a piece of paper. And then you pray for them, because when we pray for people, we become these spiritual magnifying glasses. And like here in San Diego, the sun's out all the time. La, 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 miserables. Anyway, so if you take a magnifying glass and you put it out, and the rays of the sun come through it and magnify through that magnifying glass and set things on fire. When we pray for people, we become these spiritual magnifying glasses.
I love this.
And the grace of God, which is everywhere, goes through us and sets people on fire. And if you really want it to do real good, you start fasting for them. Because fasting's like cleaning the magnifying glass and making it shinier to get through. So you fast and pray for people. Before you say a word, you fast and pray for people, because the only one that converts anybody is the Holy Spirit, not you, not me, not Catholic Answers. Nope, even the only Jesus converts people by the Holy Spirit. Anyway, so that's the thing. First thing you do is pray for them. The second thing you do is you love them. Loving people is the way Jesus did it, huh? When he caught the woman in adultery, he loved people into the faith. And that doesn't mean we're not standing up for truth. You can never separate truth from love. If you do, we have great problems. So we love people. But then the third thing we do is we witness to people. And what a witness is we share with others what Christ has done in my life and what he can do in theirs. One of the biggest things I've often said is that, remember, before God the Father gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, he first set them free from their slavery. Too often we give the commandments to people who have never been set free from their slavery. And that's why it doesn't work. We need to have people encounter the risen Christ who died for them and saved them. And once they come to know his love and his mercy and his greatness, then they get the commandments. We don't just try to give commandments and say, live it. If we even have great saints who haven't been able to live it, because you can't live without grace. So we have to expose people to this grace. So we pray for them, we love them, and then we witness to them the power of God.
Praise God. Pray, love, witness. The name of the show is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Christopher Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. My guest this afternoon, the magnificent Father Larry Richards. We will be right back after this break.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at catholic.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, the real story of Catholic history is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Also, streaming live on the Catholic Answers Facebook page and the Catholic Answers YouTube channel and the Catholic Answers Periscope channel.
Wow.
My name's Christopher Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. My guest is Father Larry Richards. But first, Father Larry, we're going to go to calls.
Yes.
But first. January is Sanctity of Life Month, marches for life going on all over the country. There will be opportunities for the faithful to engage in charity. People who think that it's okay to kill an unborn baby. We have two excellent resources for them that we're making available basically at our cost. Trent Horn's book called Persuasive Pro-Life, and also Trent Horn's DVD, Making the Case for Life, $5 each, available at shop.catholic.com. My friends, these are superb resources. You think, I can't engage somebody, I can't engage the pro-choice person, right? You can. Trent gives you the tools to do it in charity. So shop.catholic.com, Making the Case for Life, or Persuasive Pro-Life, or both, only $5 each. Okay, Father.
Yes.
Ready to go for calls?
I'm ready.
TC in Dallas, Texas, listening on AM 910 Guadalupe Radio. TC, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, TC.
Hello. How can we help you, brother?
Yes, I think I can be helpful here.
Okay.
Hopefully, well, if you take a paper clip and clip Romans 2, Philemon, the 13 books written by Paul together, and read those through, and then look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Hebrews, Revelation, you'll find that Jesus was not talking to us Gentiles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Hebrews, Revelation. James and Peter were on the same page with Jesus. They were talking to Jews under the law. We're under grace today. We follow
sure.
Paul. He said 18 times that he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, follow me, follow me, follow me, 3 times. He called the gospel my gospel 3 times. He says, we'll be judged according to his gospel, Romans 2:16. He said he was the first one chosen to be our pattern for salvation, 1 Timothy 1:16. And all the churches are followed up, Protestant, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Seventh-day Adventist. They're all in the wrong part of the Bible. Satan deceived them with the truth.
Well, sure. But again, you can pick and choose all you want, but there's so much more there, even than what you said. Like Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. Did he not? You know, so there's all these things. So we can all pick. But the reality is it's the fullness of the truth. It's the fullness of the Old Testament and New Testament, because Jesus is the fulfillment of both of them. And he teaches us all these things. So we have to completely surrender to the fullness of truth is what we're talking about. So, but that's very good. Everything you said is true, but there's even more than what you said.
All right, TC?
He did say that, but he didn't say it to you. You got to rightly divide the scriptures.
Well, how do you know he didn't? It's through the Holy Spirit, of course, because the Spirit of the Lord is alive. It isn't just for them. It's for us today, because it's just not a dead word. It's the Spirit of the living God who speaks to us through his word today. So he does say it to me, and he says it to you, TC.
TC. Go ahead, TC.
It's free.
It's free, of course. You got that right.
You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to join a church. You don't have
well,
to walk
Jesus
out.
Says, unless you eat, Jesus says, well, what's it mean to be born again? And he says, unless you're reborn of water in the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. So if you say you don't have to be baptized, then you call Jesus a liar, because that's his exact words. You must. And then he says, go and baptize ye in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, he commanded his people to baptize. So baptism is necessary for salvation.
TC, thank you very much for the question. We got a lot to get through. Let's go to Joe in Charlotte, North Carolina, watching on the Catholic Answers YouTube channel. Joe, welcome to Catholic Answers.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, how you doing?
Bless. What's up?
Okay, I'll keep my question concise.
Okay.
I have a good Calvinist friend of mine, and I didn't grow up Calvinist, but I definitely sympathize with this line of thought.
Okay.
If Christ died on the cross and he was the one perfect sacrifice,
yep,
then how is it that I notice in the Catholic world there's this idea that we can contribute with efficacious sacrifices? And I'm particularly reminded of at Fatima where Mary supposedly said, there aren't enough sacrifices for sinners, that we need, sure, to make sacrifices to help sinners.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if you can help me understand how we, sure, can add to Christ's sacrifice in that way.
Well, again, remember St. Paul says, I don't know the exact quotation, maybe Chris does, it says, we fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of, right, Christ. You know, that's the exact quotation that St. Paul, who is a follower, says, how can you talk about what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Well, first of all, we are Christ's body. So when we suffer, it's Jesus suffering. We participate in that one sacrifice on the cross. So like when we fast, like when he says, how come your disciples don't fast? He says, after I leave, they will fast. And then Paul, and again, we talk about the bringing the reality of what fasting does. So when we do sacrifices, we unite ourselves with Christ. And again, it goes back to the thing I used about the magnifying glass, that the magnifying glass, all the grace, all the power is God's. We are just his instrument. Now, again, people say, well, we don't need any instrument. Well, even anybody, I came to know Jesus Christ because of Billy Graham, who's a Baptist, huh? But if he would not have preached the word, I would not have heard it. So God had to use somebody to bring me the truth. So when we sacrifice, when we pray, when we preach, God is using us to bring his grace, all his grace, and make it more real, if you will.
What do you think, Joe?
That's a great answer. So would the correct way of understanding the sacrifice on the cross is not one which was, I guess, totally sufficient, something that we can contribute to, or just something that we can—
It was totally
in?
Sufficient, but it's an eternal sacrifice. You know, meaning that we participate in that today. But like, again, for us who go to Mass, right? When we go to Mass, we don't re-kill Jesus. It was a once and for all sacrifice, but we make present what's going there. Why? Because in God, God is in an eternal now. Which means, in God, the world is being created now, the world is ending now, Jesus is dying on the cross now, Jesus is on the resurrected now. That's why, how could Jesus say at the Last Supper, this is my body, when he had not yet died? How could they have received his true body, blood, soul, and divinity when he had not yet died on the cross? Because in God's time, he was already on the cross and already resurrected. So every time we go to Mass or every time we do any of this stuff, eternity folds into time, time folds into eternity, and we are there at the Last Supper. We are there at the resurrection. We are there at the crucifixion. Everything is now. So when we talk about filling up with his sufferings, it's still Christ suffering through us and with us, and we're making it effective in the here and now in time.
Joe, thanks very much for calling. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. My guest today, Father Larry Richards. We're taking questions especially about evangelization. You may have questions. How? What's something more that I could be doing? How do I prepare myself to properly evangelize? You have a relative who's fallen away, and how do you start that conversation? Let's try to get one more in, Father, before the hard break.
Sure.
Logan.
Hi, Logan.
In Florida, listening. Oh, Logan, I love you. Listening on the Catholic Answers app.
Whoa.
Go, Logan.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, Logan? What's up?
Doing well. So I've, through some prayer, been feeling a real strong pull towards our Mother Mary.
Great.
And I read St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary, did
great,
the three days of preparation, completed the consecration.
Good.
And completed that on January 1st. Since then, I've had an increased level of spiritual difficulties,
mm-hmm,
rather than the old evangelical side of me, the evangelical Baptist, has kind of speaking up in my heart again, pushing at me saying, maybe did you do the wrong thing? Are you going too far with this Marian devotion?
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel a strong pull towards our mother and the devotion.
Sure.
But see if I can get some words of wisdom.
Well, sure. First of all, it's demonic when it comes against you. And our, you know, the Montfort always even prepared us for that. That once we come and give ourselves to the mother of God, then the devil does everything in his power to come against us.
He hates her.
He hates her, yeah. And remember, think about John Paul II. He said his whole life changed after his devotion to Mary and after his consecration. And think about it. He got shot. He was hated. He did all these things. So the devil throws everything in his power. But you got to know that the devil has no power. It's an illusion. Only if you look at him, you can tell him. And the best way to deal with the devil is take the Holy Word of God and shove it down his throat. So what Mary does is Mary sits there and says, do whatever he tells you. And you never, again, as you know, that you can never love Mary more than Jesus did. Never, you know. And so if Jesus, who is God, needed Mary by the divine will, if any of us say we don't need Mary, we make ourselves greater than Jesus Christ because, well, Jesus needed her, but I don't. Oh, no. We need her, and Jesus needed her in his humanity by the divine will.
Father, I cannot count the number of times in my life when Our Lady has come to my rescue.
Oh.
Countless times.
She's the one that brought me to Jesus. She's the one. You know, I wear this chain around my wrist to show I am consecrated to Our Lady, that I'm a slave of Jesus through Mary, and she'll never, ever lead you astray. She'll always get you where you need to go.
We're coming up on that hard break. John in Georgia, Jose in New Jersey, Shay in Texas, John in Massachusetts. You're coming up next. 888-318-7884. I'm Chris Check. My guest, Father Larry Richards. The show is Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you. Because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information and discourse on crucial issues, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. And as a special bonus, if you order online, we'll add an ebook copy of 15 Myths, Mistakes, and Misrepresentations about the Deuterocanon to your order absolutely free. Get your free ebook today. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by logging on to our online shop at shop.catholic.com. Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live. My name is Chris Jack, sitting in for Cy Kellett. My guest is Father Larry Richards. Father Larry?
Yes.
Another quick public notice.
Yes.
You've been on Catholic Answers cruises before.
I have. They are so good.
I will say,
they
my friend.
Kill priests, but they're good.
Father Larry came with us to the Caribbean, I don't know, was that 5 years ago?
No, it was like 3 years ago.
We worked you pretty hard.
It was really hard. I had to go on a vacation after the break. Well, I said that was it. But it was good for the people. They had a fine time.
They had a great time. And also, by the way, you were exceedingly generous with your time. You said Mass for the
mass,
crew. You heard confessions.
Holy Hour, everybody. Yep. Confessions. And I know you do that to all the priests.
So I know. So when Patrick Madrid and I were off having a glass of red wine. There
they
you
invited
were.
Me once.
They were you. There
yeah,
you
it was
were.
Good. I says, invite me. And so good Pat Madrid, he's the greatest guy ever. He says, come. It was really his wife. He says, you want to come have a drink with us? Sure. And of course, I had to pick up the tab. They're so good at those Catholic Answers.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Patrick. Yeah. Oh, sure. You could. Yeah. Well, we have another one coming up. This our first river cruise ever.
I wasn't invited on that one.
You're invited on the next one, Father Larry.
Great.
Catholic Answers chartered an entire riverboat on the Danube. We sail from Budapest on June 8th, 2018. Our special guests include Archbishop Alexander Sample, the brilliant Trent Horn, our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, and yours truly, Budapest, Bratislava, Vienna, Dernstein, Melk, Salzburg, Paspo, Regensburg, Vilshoven. And we've just scheduled three extra days in Prague, an optional event. My friends, there are only 5 cabins left on this cruise. We're offering a promo called Enter the Word New Year when you go to register at CatholicAnswersCruise.com. That promo, $100 off per person, is good until tomorrow. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. These 5 cabins are going to be gone soon. Okay, Father Larry, questions?
Yes. I want to go. Oh, go ahead.
Questions.
Yes.
John in Atlanta, listening again on Facebook. Glory. John, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, John.
Hey, outstanding show, guys, as usual. I love your podcast. Listen to them all week. Father Larry,
yes.
I hear a lot of good things about you from my niece who lives in Erie.
Oh, great.
And my youth minister brother who lives in Newcastle.
Oh,
they
wonderful.
The world of you.
Great job.
So
tell them hi.
My question is this. I've heard people like Tim Staples refer to Our Lady as the co-redemptrix.
Yep.
And I don't think that's something that the church has ever fully accepted as far as a title. Can you explain to me why, and maybe I'm just misunderstanding the title here?
Well, again, it's been part of the teaching of the church. It just has never been officially,
a defined dogma.
A defined dogma. There you go. It hasn't been officially defined dogma. There's a lot written on it that it's Mary's. Think about it. If Mary would have said no, nothing would have happened as we have today. You know, everything came down to one yes, Luke 1:38, when she says, "Let it be done to me, fiat." And so she is the one who works with Jesus on bringing us graces. And I often talk about, like, you know, when we talk about everything is grace, Mary is the greatest example of that, because what we believe, like with the Immaculate Conception, that she was conceived without sin. Did she do anything to deserve it? No. It was a pure grace given by God. And grace, and so she helps bring that, just like her co-redemption is her implications all throughout history of her one yes.
How's that, John?
Outstanding. I really appreciate the explanation. Y'all have a great evening.
Hey, thanks, John.
John, I'm going to be speaking in Atlanta at the end of February, I think 23, 24, 25, something like that. Shoot an email to info@catholic.com, and then I'll get you the info for that.
Joy.
Perfect.
You don't want to miss that.
It's going to be a lot
of
fun.
I'll do it right now.
Absolutely.
Good job. God bless you.
All right. Let's go to Jose in New Jersey watching on YouTube. Jose, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, Jose.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Blessed. What's up?
I have to tell you guys, if it wasn't for you guys and Bishop Barron, I don't know where I'd be 5 years ago. I want to thank you guys and your team. You guys do amazing work out there.
Thank you very much.
My question would have to be, original sin, correct? Original
yep.
sin had the consequence of, you know, child labor pains, correct?
Traditionally.
So Mary wasn't conceived without original sin.
Yep.
But Mary was also human, too. So then Mary, when she conceived Jesus, did she have labor pains?
Traditionally, St. Thomas Aquinas said no, but it's never been defined dogma. You know, I've asked lots of, because I've had that question myself many times. And, you know, like if Jesus, who was God, could suffer on the cross, could Mary have had labor pains? And then, but see, Thomas Aquinas believed that Jesus was born like light that passes through a mirror, that he was in the womb and then he was out of the womb. You know, and so there's a whole tradition for that. So she experienced no labor pains, but more Today you have more people that, yes, she would experience labor pains because she was a full human being and because that is part of the thing. But when you theologize all the way back to Eve with that, then that's where you have problems. But it's because of what you just said. But it has never been defined one way or the other. But people fight about it a lot, trust me.
You know, Father, it's interesting how many things there are in the church that people think are defined one
exactly.
way or the other that actually have not been.
Exactly.
But they're more of that part of the magisterium that's tradition.
Sure. Yeah. And again, you can have two different sides and still, you know, the problem is when you start telling everybody believes the other way is wrong. You can't do that.
Yeah. How's that, Jose?
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Jose.
God bless you, brother. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. With me in studio today in beautiful San Diego, Father Larry Richards. Shay. Did I say that correctly? Hutto, Texas, on Facebook.
Hutto.
Hi, Shay. How are you?
Did I pronounce it all right, Shay? How did I do?
It's okay. Hutto.
Hutto.
A lot of people mispronounce it. It's okay.
But where is Hutto?
It's about 30 minutes or an hour from Austin.
Okay.
Sort of towards the hill country?
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Well,
yeah.
So you're listening. Oh, okay. You're listening on Facebook. Great. What's your question, yeah. Shay?
So I don't know how often this situation would happen, but I thought about this the other day. Does the Catholic Church say anything about Catholic singles adopting children?
I have never heard anything against it, you know, because I've known a lot of I have heard a lot of people who have adopted children. I mean, always ideally for any child, it's so good to have a mother and a father, you know, but some children have nobody. And so to have a single person would be better than nobody, of course, you know, but as long as we're talking about life, where life is life. And so but I wouldn't hear anything.
So this would be chiefly, Father, a question of prudence.
Sure.
The child in question may be having, you know, some kind of poor living conditions,
sure.
or maybe he's in an institution or something
sure.
like that, and he may have a better life,
sure.
Materially,
sure.
but also spiritually. So I'd say it boils down to prudence and
sure.
the you know the capacity of
sure.
the person doing the adopting.
There was a priest in Chicago who adopted three children with the permission of the bishop years ago, you know, so because they were hard kids, they needed to have somebody and he did it. So there is precedence for this type to happen. But, you know, it's a hard thing to – once you have a child in your life, it's hard.
Well, yeah, there would be the question of whether that priest, given his other –
being exactly
responsibilities.
Sure. That was totally different, but I'm saying
priest,
it has
yeah.
happened.
Sure.
It's been a while. But.
Shay, is that helpful?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Shay. Pray always, everything. You always ask, seek God's will about anything you ever do, no matter what.
All right. God bless you, Shay. I think we can get one more question in here before the break. Let's go to John in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius 130 EWTN. John, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, John.
Hi there.
What's
Hello
up?
Hello there, Father. All right. So speaking of making disciples, I have three daughters, ages
yes.
11 to 16.
Yes.
And, you know, the culture teaches us that life is a zero-sum game. What I have, it must be taken from someone else or at the expense of someone else. And so their question, and I'm asking on their behalf, is why is it that men make all the rules in the church today?
Well, men, since they're the bishops and that, they would make the rules, but usually with input a lot of women. You know, for instance, like in the United States, we had Mother Angelica, and she made a lot of rules, and she did a lot of influence in that. And in the Catholic Church of the United States, she's influenced more than some bishops have, you know. So women have a different part. Now, the reason, like, when it comes to all this stuff is that Jesus, who is God, chose 12 men to be around him, and they were the 12 he chose. Now, Jesus went against almost every cultural norm of his time. He drove them insane. except he still only chose 12 men. He had women in his company. But again, no, if this is the thing about power, then there's always going to be issues. If we fight over power about men and women, there's going to be issues. What we're talking about is even when it comes to the rules are not about power. They're about service. You know, and so a bishop, like, and there's nobody in my mind, like Pope Francis exemplifies this. He is the servant of the servants. He's making it very clear that he has come to serve, not to rule over everybody and tell everybody what to do. He wants to come and he wants to serve, and he wants everybody to have a say. Now, some people that drives insane. Other people, it's something that we all need to be part of. But since Jesus never ordained a woman, if you will, John Paul II, you know, came in and said the church never has, it doesn't have the power, and it never will ordain a man. You know, but that doesn't mean that women don't have a say. In fact, again, this Holy Father has been inviting women to talk about women's issues and that in Rome and everything.
You know, John, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the biography of Catherine of Siena. Written by a magnificent Norwegian novelist, in my mind, the greatest lady writer of all time, named Sigrid Undset, U-N-D-S-E-T. Ignatius Press brought it back into print, I don't know, maybe 5, 10 years ago. You will see in the person of Catherine of Siena, and your daughters will see, probably the most influential person in 14th century Europe. So when the popes were up there in Avignon and Rome was languishing from the lack of having the Holy Father in Rome, it's Catherine of Siena, the diminutive daughter of a Sienese garment dyer, who goes to Avignon and tells the pope, what is he? Be a man.
Yeah, exactly. Estovir.
Right?
Yeah.
Man up, Holy Father. And then, and then of course, there are women who are doctors at the church.
The Blessed Mother is the most perfect example
ever created.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's so many magnificent examples of feminine Christianity for your daughters there. How's that, John?
It sounds great. I will definitely pick that up. And I just wanted to say thank you to Father Larry for teaching me to pray constantly.
Good
Lord
job.
Jesus Christ, son of the
living God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
Me too.
Amen.
And Chris, big time.
That's right.
God bless you, John.
All right. If God has mercy on us, we're going to get through the rest of these questions. But right now, we're going to go to a break. Catholic
break.
Answers Live.
Yeah.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment. Catholic Answers winter campaign is almost over. We've raised much of what we need to enter the coming year in a strong position, but we still need to raise more. This is Catholic Answers' most important fundraiser of the year, and there's still time for you to help. Your response to the campaign will determine how much apostolic work Catholic Answers can do next year. To learn how you can help, just go to Catholic.com and click the winter campaign banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the winter campaign banner at Catholic.com, or call us toll free 888-291-8000.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
It could be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows you how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never really seemed to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Our topic today, evangelization. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. My guest, Father Larry Richards. Father, I knew this was going to be a fast hour, yes. And I knew I was not going to fall asleep.
Yes, it can't. It can't happen.
All right, lightning round. Let's see if we can get through these. Matt, Ohio, on 89.5 FM.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, thank you for taking my call,
of course.
Chris and Father Larry.
Sure. What's up, Matt?
Well, since we're talking about evangelization,
yes.
I figured I would call and say it worked.
Good.
But
okay, we'll go to the next caller.
Yes. What's up? Okay, so what's going on?
Well, my only problem is I'm married, have a 2.5-year-old son, and uh-huh. I'm the only income in the family.
Sure.
My wife stays home with our son.
Sure.
So trying to get to normal RCIA classes is pretty difficult, and
sure.
I wondered if you guys could tell me of some kind of alternative
sure.
to like
Easily.
The regular meetings that my local parish has.
Sure. Again, RCIA is one means. It isn't the only means to come to the church. I bring lots of people in with private instruction. So I'll call them in and I go through them privately instructed. I also have, I just put an RCIA program out through my foundation, which is 25 one-hour talks on everything about the faith, which is an RCIA program. And some of the priests have been letting the people watch them and then co-talk to them about it, so they're getting the same old thing. But the RCIA is one means, but if you talk to the priest or a deacon, they might be able to get you in another way. You know, but of course, that would be the greatest thing. You're most welcome. Don't let the classes get in the way.
How's that, Matt?
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
okay,
Matt.
Glory.
God bless you.
Let's go to Kathy in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Kathy, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, Father Larry.
Hello.
Come to Albuquerque, please.
If I got invited, I'll come. I was there once for a men's conference, I remember. So, what's up?
Well, I didn't go to that.
Okay.
I am calling because what I keep hearing from some friends is, well, I used to be a Catholic, but
yep.
I never learned anything. They never
sure.
taught me anything.
Sure.
And I have to say it's mostly people who came to formation in the 60s and 70s.
Sure.
I didn't learn that much either.
Exactly.
But I came back to the church.
Sure.
So how do I approach people like that?
Again, I always say just because you didn't learn anything didn't mean they didn't have the truth. It was, again, I've often said we are the way we are as a church because of us priests, that we didn't do what we thought. We went into this la-la mode instead of this, we're just going to love people in. Well, you got to have both. You got to have the truth and catechesis, and you also have to have the evangelization. So we got to preach the truth and love, the truth and love, the truth and love. And so what their job is, they're not dead yet. They can still learn a lot. And the Catholic Church is doing a lot to change this stuff around. Catholic Answers, EWTN, these are ways that they can learn every day. You're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All you have to do is turn TV on or turn the radio on, and you can hear the truth. You know, so, but again, though, it's always an introduction to me. I say, well, so you're going to turn your back on Jesus then because you didn't learn enough about him? You should still know Jesus. You can still learn about him, but yet that's the point, especially in the Eucharist.
Kathy, are your friends open to conversations about the faith?
Sort of. I go to a Protestant Bible study, women's
uh-huh.
Bible study, and they know I'm the token Catholic. Bring up stuff as often as I can.
Sure, and that's a good thing.
Good.
And I think that there's, I always tell people you should get it through the scriptures. I always tell people I have these things in my Bible. It's called the Bible Thumper. And they fold out and they have everything in them about where is the Bible to talk about the sacrament of confession? Where is it talk about a sacrament? Where is the Bible to talk about the Pope? And then all the things, you fold it up and you keep it in your Bible. So you should take something like that with you. So when they ask you, say, oh, I'm so glad you asked me about that. Here's all the places in the Bible where it talks about confession. And those are great things to help because we don't want to argue with the people. We want to share with them the truth of and the love of God.
Kathy, let me recommend to you, if you think that they would be open to it, get your friends a copy of Trent Horn's brand new book, Why We're Catholic. It is the best book of its kind, and you can get it at shop.catholic.com. It's very inexpensive. We published it for mass distribution. And if they'll take a look at that, that's a good beginning. And then maybe if they want to sit down with something formed by the Augustine Institute also is a good course in catechesis. And then they're going to get that thing that they missed, and then they're going to be on fire.
There you go.
Just the way you are, Kathy. All right, Father, you've got your marching orders to get to Albuquerque sometime.
I'm coming.
All right. God bless you, Kathy.
God bless you.
Let's go to Jordan in North Carolina watching on YouTube. Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
Hey, guys. God bless you both. Had a quick question.
Sure, Jordan.
The church teaches one of the worst sins is intentional doubt of the Holy Spirit or against God. And I went through a period of intentional doubting of God recently in the efficacy of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But have repented and asked for forgiveness. And I'm going to go to confession soon.
Good.
What can I do to earn back God's grace? Because I'm worried that I've lost the Holy Spirit.
You said it. You said the
first
answer.
First of all, you cannot earn God's grace. Grace is a free gift to you. You never have to. I mean, God's grace. You couldn't even have came to repentance where you are right now except for the grace of God. So it's proof that you have God's grace or you couldn't be where you are. You cannot repent without the grace of God. It's a grace. So God is already working in you. So you got to trust in his goodness. You got to get to confession, of course, but don't go crazy over it. Just say, Jesus, as much as I doubted before, make me now have great faith four times against my doubt. And God can fill you with your faith.
Jordan, we'll be praying for you, okay?
Sure. Don't worry, Jordan. God loves you.
Be
all right. Good. Carolyn in Virginia, listening on EWTN. Carolyn, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, Carolyn.
Father Larry, you will laugh because I love your book.
There you go.
And I have two boys.
Uh-huh.
And when my one son got married, I bought that book for every groomsman.
Good job.
Put it on their nightstand.
I'm just trying to get Chris Check to read it. But anyway, let's go on.
Okay. But my harder question is just in hearing their conversations, all these young adults, some of them have children, some of them like, you know, one, two, and then they said, oh, no, I'm getting a vasectomy.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, these are all Catholics. And I was, you know, I'm not judging them, but I just in my heart, I was like, man, I know this isn't right. And I don't know. I know you're going to say you got to fast and you got
to
pray for them.
But I think you need to share with them because I talk to, you know, I deal with men all the time and they're saying, I said, so you're becoming God in your life, right? Because that's what vasectomies do. And anybody, you say, God is no longer God of my sexual life. I am. And if Jesus isn't Lord of everything, he's Lord of nothing. So I say, you got to watch when you start putting yourself in God's place in your life. And saying, I'll do that. So that's usually the question. They look at me and they'll say, Father, I hate you. I go, I know. That's what I work at for. I desire that. So, but pray for them. But also, you got to start asking the questions. And there's some excellent materials. Does Catholic Answers have excellent materials?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And we have also the domain name, chastity.com.
There's
a lot of good information on there
as well.
They
have the domain name.
But if you go to Catholic.com and just put in a search, vasectomy, and that will get, or birth control, contraception, then you'll get a lot.
Because men need men to be talking about it, not from the head, but just about being a man. You're taking away your manhood by getting a vasectomy, too. I mean, you might as well be a wimp now the rest of your life, is what I would say. But anyway.
Yeah, very good. How's that, Carolyn?
Thank you.
Tell him, be a man. Tell him, be a man.
Over here. And there we go.
All right. Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I tried calling yesterday, but.
Well, we're glad you're in. What's up?
Yeah.
Got to go quick here, my friend.
Well, this is kind of a long story, but...
You won't get through it because we've only got about 2 minutes left in the show. So give us the quick question so Father Larry can help you.
Sure.
Okay. I met a woman recently. She is not happy in her relationship. She pulled me out of a very, very dark period in my life.
Yeah.
And I need to know if it's okay if I tell her how I feel about her, because I truly have her to thank for pulling me out of this dark period.
Absolutely. I think that would be the greatest thing if you shared with her that. But you just have to watch how much more you share with her. Does that mean it's, you know, for you to sit there and share how someone important to you, I think it's a great thing. But that's where it should be. Just share with her. Don't expect anything back unless she's willing to give that. That would be great.
Okay, Anonymous.
Okay.
Talk to her.
Yes.
Absolutely. God bless you.
We're going to get in one more for her.
There we go.
Mary Kay in Illinois on 92.7 FM. Mary Kay, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, you there?
What's up?
Yes, I'm here.
Hurry up. What's up?
you got about a minute, dear.
Okay, well, I went to confession on a Monday.
Okay.
And I told the priest that I had baptized my husband.
Okay.
Because I knew there's no way he was going to get baptized any other way. And so I asked him, is this a church baptism? And he said, no.
Well, again.
Well, then I
okay.
went to...
Well, did your husband know you were baptizing him?
Oh, he did.
Then he wanted it?
He was very...
Okay, yes, he wanted it. Did you do it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Amen.
Did you use water?
Yes, I did, and then I set it off with holy water.
Okay, then that is a baptism. It is a valid baptism. He still should get the rights of the church with that, but yes, of course, it was a valid baptism.
May not be licit.
Yeah, not licit, but it was valid.
But valid. Okay, that's a good distinction. Father Larry, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're a great guy.
Yeah,
I'm going to read your book
about
now.
About time, you pagan.
All right, I'm going to give you 40 seconds to give an extended blessing here.
Absolutely.
make it good.
Absolutely. I just ask everybody to bow their heads and be open to the grace of God who wants to give you through the blessing. Holy Father, great God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to this now. Give them your Holy Spirit, not a cowardly spirit, but one that will make them strong, loving, and wise. Bless them now and empower them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Coming up in the next hour, Jimmy Akin, senior apologist at Catholic Answers.